بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذا سالك عبادي عني فاني قريب اجيب دعوه الداع اذا دعان سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللہ تعالی سے زند قران و اذا سالك عبادي when my servant asks you anni about me fa inni qareeb then I am near ujibu da'wat ad-da'i and I listen I accept the dua of the dua maker or the call of the caller iza da'ani when he makes the call falyastajibu then he should accept my orders falyastajibu li then he should accept my order falyu'minu bi and he should bring iman on me la'allahum yarshudun so that he may be guided now this ayah of the quran is about dua and allah taala says and this ayah is actually an address to the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa iza sa'alaka ibadi anni so allah taala tells the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when any of my servant asks about me fa inni qareeb then tell him that I am very near so the first thing allah taala tells about himself is that he is very near in another ayah of the quran allah taala says that he is closer to you than your jugular vein this vein right here he's closer to you than your jugular vein and then allah taala says ujibu da'wat ad-da'i iza da'ani and he accepts the dua or he accepts the call of the caller when he makes the call so in this ayah of the quran allah taala says that whoever makes dua or whoever calls upon allah subhanahu wa taala allah taala answers the call allah taala accepts the call in a hadith of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the one who asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything and who asks and who makes the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time so somebody who does two things he's always making duas and he's making dua about everything whether it's a worldly matter whether it's a matter of the deen if a person is like that then the hadith says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him among his closest servants makes him among his friends so the one who makes more duas becomes amongst the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so Allah ta'ala likes that we ask him people ask and people call upon other people as well right we call upon our parents that I need this sometimes we call upon our friends that please do this for me sometimes there are beggars who call upon people going in the cars that please help me so there are people who also respond to calls and then there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who also responds to the calls but there is a very big difference if somebody calls upon us that I need help right if he calls us once we will probably help that person if he comes a second time let's say immediately or let's say in a day or two we'll be a little upset as to I just helped him and he came back again right so he comes back again a second time then if he comes back a third time then we will be very upset Right? And if he keeps on coming, then finally we'll tell the gatekeeper, Skandarni Anadena. This is how we are. So when the man responds to the call, he does not like it if he's being called upon many, many times. But the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different. The Prophet ﷺ says, the one who calls upon Allah many, many, many times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so happy that Allah ta'ala makes him among his friends, among his awliya. So that is why calling upon Allah is different than calling upon people. In the same way, when you call upon people, sometimes people have their own situations, right? Some charitable group is going to come to a, let's say, an owner of an enterprise, right? That please help us. We are going to help the poor. They come to the owner of the enterprise and they say, we are going to help the poor. So the charitable organization will have, or the enterprise will have its own problems. So the owner of the organization sometimes would say that this year our profits are not as much. We might not be able to help you. We have our own situation, right? And if somebody asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala does not have any situation. That he has shortage of funds, or this year there were less profits, so that is why he cannot give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties are endless. So there is a very big difference between how people respond to call and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the call. So people get upset when somebody calls upon them many, many times. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a hadith it says that the one who does not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yaghzib alayhi. Man lam yas'al Allahi, yaghzib alayhi. The one who does not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala becomes upset with that person. So there's a difference between how people respond to calls and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the call. We have to understand one thing, that Allah Ta'ala has declared in the Quran that when you will make a call, when you will make dua, I am going to accept that dua. Now the first step is that he listens to the dua, and the second step is that he accepts and responds to the dua. And this is a very big honor if you look at it. If a king of our time, let's say, the president of Pakistan, let's say, he says that, okay, whatever questions you have, I'm going to respond to your questions, please meet me. Right? If he does that to us, subhanallah, we'll go nuts. Huh? Sabko bata rahe honge. Phone kar rahe honge. Hazrat dua kijiyega. Mulaqat hai president sahab se. This is how we are. So the king of this world, a king of a small area of this world, if he listens to what we have to say, he gets so happy. We think it is such a big honor for us. Couldn't be any bigger honor than this, right? And subhanahu wa ta'ala, what to say about the kingship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu Akbar. And I say this many times, actually, this is just to accept, this just to understand this. And I reiterate this a lot of times, how mammoth, how big Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Like, you know, akli andaz mein. If you look at the size of the universe, and the scientists say that the size of the universe is unknown. But the known, the observable size of the universe is 98 million light years. 98 billion light years. And one light year is equal to 10 trillion kilometers. Allahu Akbar. So one light year is 10 trillion kilometers and 98 billion light years.
So just imagine how big this universe is. How big and how huge the kingship of that king is who has created this. And some people, they keep this in their mind while they're praying and they become more humble in their prayers. This is a very good way of becoming humble in your prayers, actually, if you keep this in your mind, that the Lord that you're bowing to is magnanimous. So somebody showed me a picture, and the name of the picture was the blue dot. I said, what is this blue dot? It was a dark, it was black colored picture. There was nothing on there. And then they had pointed to a small dot and said, the blue dot. Then I went close and it said that this is a picture of the universe which is approximately 3 billion light years away from the world. Not 98 billion, just 3 billion light years away from the world. And the size of the universe in that is this tiny dot. So this is how big this universe is, and this is how small we are, actually. So if that king says that, okay, whenever you call upon me, I respond, that is the biggest honor for us. That is why it is such a big honor. This honor is not given to everyone. So the one who does not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends up going into sins, you will see that he doesn't get this opportunity, he doesn't get this honor to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we think that, okay, we have stopped making dua to Allah. It is not as if we have stopped making dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken that honor away from us. So this is not a small thing, it is a big honor. And if somebody has been given this opportunity of making du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a big honor, he should safeguard this opportunity. And not go into things that take away this opportunity from him. So Allah ta'ala says, Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i iza da'a. Whoever calls upon me, whoever makes du'a to me, I respond. So this is a very big du'a. This is a very big honor. Now, the question is, and a lot of people ask this question, that I make dua, but I don't see those duas getting accepted, right? And there are two answers to this. One answer is that we don't know the right adab of making dua, the right way of making dua. This dua or calling upon Allah is actually calling upon Allah. It is a request. It is like begging towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we make dua as if we are ordering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dua is not an act of the tongue. It is an act of the heart. So if you don't do it in a proper way, then this dua is not going to be accepted. It is not as if you go to your factory in the morning and then you order your manager to do this and your accountant to do this and your laborer to do this. No. This is not how it is. It's much different. This is a call. This is humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is begging in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the beggar you see on the road, who come towards your car, if you look at him closely, he's begging for only 10 rupees. But look at him. His eyes are begging. His hands are begging. From the head to the toe, all of his body is in humility in front of you. So the one who wants 10 rupees from you is showing so much humility. And if you want such big favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're not showing this humility, then how can you accept the dua to be accepted in the eyes of Allah? So one reason why the du'as are not accepted is because we don't do it in the right way. We just think that, okay, however way we make dua, it is now forced upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all our du'as. No, this is not how it is. Dua is an act of humility. So that is why the Prophet ﷺ has said that the one on whom the doors of dua are open, Allah Ta'ala opens for them the doors of mercy. So the doors of dua opening up means that the right way of doing dua is opened up for him. So the one who understands the right way of dua, then Allah Ta'ala's doors of mercy open for him. So we don't make dua, we don't ask, we don't call, we just read dua, right? After making salat, we just read, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan. And then we just leave. So this is not dua. This is just reading out stuff. Dua is not an act of the tongue. Some people are smiling very hard actually now. Dua is not an act of the tongue. Dua is an act of the heart. So dua has to come from the inside. Ji. So Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was a Muslim king. And he was a very big oppressor. And whoever would do anything against his wishes, he would just simply kill him. And he had Allahu Akbar, he had killed a lot of Sahabas. This was what he was. He was a very vicious king. He was a Muslim. He was a very big oppressor. He was a very strong king. So he went to the Baytullah, he went to the Haram. And he was about to start his tawaf, and he saw this blind man sitting in front of the Kaaba. And the blind man was making dua, Oh Allah, please correct my eyesight. Oh Allah, give me my eyes back to me. But he was not making dua with the depth that one should make dua. You know, he was as if, you know, he was probably making dua the way he was sitting in front of the Kaaba, so he should just make dua. So just because it was a duty, so he was making dua, not expecting that Allah is going to correct his eyes. So he was just making dua. So the dua that this blind man was making was not actually from the heart, he was just making it from the tongue. So Hajjaj saw that this blind man was making this dua, and he was making this dua with a lot of lack of interest actually. So Hajjaj went close to him and he told him that I don't like the way you're making dua. And first he went up to him and he kicked him. So this blind man was very upset. Who is this? He said, I am Hajjaj. He said, Badshah Salamat. You are here? He said, yes. And the Badshah goes, and I'm seeing you making dua, and these duas are not effective. You're not showing any interest. Dua should be made in such a way that it should be accepted. After all, you're sitting in the house of Allah. He said, yes, my lord. So then the king said that I am going to make tawaf. And if your eyesight does not return before I am done with my tawaf, then I am going to get you killed. Allah. And the king ordered one of his persons that you stand right next to him. Don't let him run away. So now this poor man, blind man, who was making this dua with a very lack of interest, his dua has now changed. The style of dua was very different now. And he was crying and he was begging and he was going in front of Allah and he was holding the door of the Kaaba and he was crying to Allah, Oh Allah, help me, Oh Allah. So he cried so much for those 7 rounds of tawaf that it is written in the books that before he had finished his tawaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned back the eyesight to this man. So du'as are accepted and du'as are made with the presence of the heart. So we only make du'a with our tongues. Du'as have to be made with the presence of the heart. Some people have this a lot of taste for du'a actually. If you see them, they're always making du'a. Their first attention would turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That type of a person, for him Allah's doors of mercy are open. Allah ta'ala says, the one on whom the doors of du'as are open, then the doors of mercy are also open for him. So these are those people who have a lot of fun making du'a, right? People enjoy doing a lot of different things. Some people like playing cricket. Some people like playing something else. Some people like going out for a walk. Some people like something and some people enjoy some different things. And there are some people who enjoy making du'a. And this is the best form of enjoyment if somebody knows how to make du'a.
And Sultan Salahuddin was also a king of his time, and he was a very pious king. And he also enjoyed making dua. This was his favorite pastime. And he heard that the Muslims are in trouble. There's a very big ship of opponents who are entering into Muslim lands, and they're very close, and they're going to kill all the Muslims. And the Muslims were weak at that time, so he was very, very afraid. So when he got this news, he became very sad and depressed and didn't know what to do. So he went for his Isha prayers, and after prayers he thought that, okay, maybe I should make dua to Allah. So he started making dua, and people waited for a little bit, then one by one people left. And he was left alone. And he was so much engrossed in his dua, and he had so much attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was so much concerned about this situation as well, he kept on making dua and did not even realize that it was time for Fajr. This is how much he used to enjoy making dua. So when he realized that it's time for Fajr and the Azan for Fajr is being called out, so he decided that I'll stay for Fajr prayers as well. And then I will come back, I will go back home after Fajr. So when he was done with his Fajr prayers, he went outside the masjid and he saw a very pious saint of Allah standing in front of the masjid. So he thought to himself that maybe I should go to this man as well and ask him to make dua for us. So he went up to this man, this very pious friend of Allah, and he said that, Shaykh, make dua for the Muslims. You know, the kafirs, their ship is coming close to the Muslim lands and they're going to kill all of us. So that pious saint of Allah replied that, O Salahuddin, that ship has drowned in the tears that came out of your eyes last night. And when they found out that yes, it was really the truth that the ship had drowned. So that means to the one who makes dua with intensity, with the presence of heart, that dua is accepted. Sometimes people get frustrated that I make dua and my dua does not get accepted. One reason is that he doesn't make the dua the correct way. The second reason is he does not understand what is better for him and what is not. Right? The young man wants to get married to this young girl. Subhanallah, he'll make all the duas in the world. Let me tell you this. I know this young man. Never ever used to pray, but said, this year I'm going to do itikaf 10 days in the masjid. There is a reason for it. Subhanallah. So when somebody gets upset, when he makes a lot of dua and that dua doesn't get accepted, this is a very natural thing. And some women also make dua, and women go on to say things which they should not even say. Sometimes they say, "Hamari ko sunta hi nahi." So this is very wrong. Actually, not, you should not say things like this, because this is against the Quran. Kaise nahi sunta, sabki sunta. He listens to everyone. After all, it is the ayah of the Quran. Ujibu da'awat al-da'i iza da'an. When a woman says or a man says that "Hamari to sunta hi nahi hai," he's actually negating this ayah of the Quran. So you should be careful about saying these things. So he listens to every call of the caller because it is the ayah of the Quran. But the Prophet ﷺ has explained this in detail, how he responds to the call of the caller. Let's say the caller is making this dua and he's been making for many, many days. And he's making with the presence of the heart. The Prophet ﷺ has said that whoever makes dua, Allah Ta'ala accepts the dua of each and every one. And the ways of accepting that dua is in three different types. One way of accepting the dua is that Allah listens to the dua and grants whatever the maker of the dua has asked for. And the second way is that Allah Ta'ala does not accept the dua exactly the way He has asked for, but Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala removes a calamity that was about to befall that person. So the young man says that, okay, I want to marry this girl. And he keeps on making dua, but he does not know what is to come later on. This marriage might not work the way that he is thinking it should work, right? He does not know what kind of a package he is getting, huh?
Allah Ta'ala knows what kind of a package you're going into.
So sometimes you make dua, but the thing that you're asking for might not be the best thing for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant you, but He grants you that which is best for you. This is another way of accepting the dua. And Allah Ta'ala does this for you because of the duas that you're making. And the third way of accepting the dua is according to the hadith that the person makes dua, Allah Ta'ala does not accept it the way he asked for. Allah Ta'ala does not remove this calamity. But Allah Ta'ala saves this dua for the akhirah and gives him the reward in the akhirah. And the hadith says that when the man is going to see his reward in the akhirah, for the du'as that he made and those du'as were not accepted, when he will see that reward, he is going to say in the akhirah, I wish all my du'as in the world were not accepted. And they were all, you know, all of them were given as rewards for me in the akhirah. This is how much the reward is going to be in the akhirah. So the du'a of each and every one of us is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, having said all of this, there are some areas, some places and some times which are the times of acceptance of dua. And the first time is the time of the Hajj. This is the time of the acceptance of dua. Allah Ta'ala says, it's a hadith by Qudsi. Allah Ta'ala says that at the time of the Hajj, Allah Ta'ala comes on the Asman, on the first heaven, and calls that whoever is present at this time and who is asking me of something, I should grant it to that person. And whoever is in pain, I should remove that pain from him. And whoever wants to get his sins forgiven, I will forgive his sin in this time of the night. So this time of Tahajjud is the last third of the night. It's the time before Fajr. So this is one time of the acceptance. The other time of acceptance is that when you visit the Baytullah, the house of Allah, the Kaaba, when you place your eyes, the first glance on the Kaaba is the time of the acceptance of dua. So people make different dua. Somebody asked Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Shaykh, you tell me what is the best dua to make at that time when you look at the Baytullah, right? So the Imam pondered for a little bit and then he answered that I think the dua you should make is that, oh Allah, from now on, whatever dua I make, please accept that dua from me. So this is a very witty answer from the Shaykh. So this is also a good dua to make when you look at the Kaaba the first time. The third time when the dua is accepted is the time of Hajj. And the Prophet ﷺ has made dua that, oh Allah, accept the duas. Oh Allah, forgive all the sins of the Haji and forgive all the sins of the person that the Haji makes dua for. So this Haji is so honorable in the eyes of Allah that whatever dua he makes, Allah accepts that dua. And whatever dua he makes for the people, his fellow, his friends, his family, Allah Ta'ala accepts those du'as as well. That is why it is said that when the Haji returns back home, people should go and visit him and ask him to make du'a for them. So this du'a is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was an atheist working in one of the factories in Pakistan. He was a very top engineer, very highly qualified. Was from a very well-to-do family. And he was a very good-looking young man. And he used to build his body. And he was a very, very fit-looking, good-looking young man. And a very successful engineer at a very high post in a very big company. But apparently people found out that he's an atheist. When somebody would ask him that, you know, could you please, you know, the neighbor that used to work in the company would come up to him and he would ask, they would ask him that, oh, you know, we need to take time off, we want to do itikaf. And he would say things like, you know, you're wasting your time doing itikaf in the masjid. Or people would say that, okay, we need to go on jamaat and we need to invite people to the deen. He would say, you are
you are misguiding other people, things like that. Somebody in the factory told him that, you should fear Allah. And he responded that, you should fear Allah, I don't fear Allah. So this was his response. He was an atheist. Apparently, there was a very pious man in the factory. He was also an engineer. And he told him that you should not say these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can get upset at you. And he said, I am not afraid of being Allah's being upset at me. So this is what he said. He said, okay, fine. It so happened that this man, who was a very good-looking man, very muscular, very fit, he got sick. So he took some days off and he came back to work after a lot of days. People saw that he looks very sick. But his disease has not left him. And sometimes his disease has changed to a thing where he would get a lot of sweat in his palms, in his body, and his clothes will get all wet. It was such a situation where the sweat would actually drop from his palms. He would not even be able to sign a piece of paper. So when this continued for a few days, then the owners of the mill, they told him that, okay, you should take some more time off, take a couple of months off and get yourself checked. And when you are completely fit, you come back to us. So he took like a 2-3 month leave and he was at his home. After a couple of months, a news came that this man is so sick that he is on his deathbed. All the doctors have, all the doctors have said that we cannot do anything about him, and he's going to die in a few days. So people in the factory, all his co-workers and his colleagues, they got very upset and they got very concerned about him. So all of them actually went to see him. This man who used to do bodybuilding, he was such a good looking man, he was such a fit man, he had become like, he was so thin that he looked like a skeleton. And he was so sick that he could not even turn himself on his bed. His mother would turn him if he needed to turn. And he could not even talk, he could not even walk. He could not even go all the way up to the bathroom. And everyone in the family was all sad and crying because he was about to die. So this pious man in the factory, he became very concerned that this, after all, he was our colleague and he's so sick. So he talked to the owners of the factory that, this man is very well qualified and he's our colleague, we should help him. So the factory owner said that, okay, wherever he could be cured, whichever hospital you want to take him to, whether it's inside of the country or outside of the country, we will contribute and we will pay for all his expenses. So his disease was first diagnosed and it was found out that he can only be treated in Canada. So then the factory members, they made his air ticket and they talked to the doctors there and they decided on a price and he was sent, and his brother was also sent with him so that he could take care of them. So now the factory members who had done all this for him, they asked him that, what we have decided is that inshallah when you will be cured and when you will be coming back, we have planned your trip in such a way that you will perform Umrah on your way back to Pakistan. And this is, we're talking about 70s and 80s. 1970s and 80s. So this man was asked that whether you would like to go. And because all this favor that his colleagues had done for him, he said, okay, fine. He did not mind. Although he had no interest in doing all these things. So he left. After 3 to 4 weeks, the news came that he's back and he's all well. So all the colleagues became very happy. And they all went to see him. And they all saw that, yes, the person who was like a skeleton now has some meat on him, right? Now he can walk. Now he can talk. So they were all very happy and they all congratulated him. And finally they said, tell us what happened. And he said, first we should pray Asr prayers, and after Asr prayers I'm going to tell you what happened. So they were all surprised that this man, who used to say that he does not believe in God, would never ever pray, and he's saying to all of us that first we should pray Asr prayers, then I will tell you what happened. So they were very happy. So all of them prayed Asr prayers. Now they were also very, very anxious to know what actually happened, and his mind has changed. So they asked him what happened. He said that we went and we contacted the doctor. We got admitted into the hospital. And immediately the doctor said, my situation is so bad that I am going to die in a couple of days. So he did an immediate operation on me. And the operation failed. And the doctor said, I can't do anything. And he told my brother that you should take him back to Pakistan. And my brother pleaded him that you do this operation one more time. And the doctor said, it's a waste of money. This is a gone case, he's going to die. And before he dies, you take him back. And he said, my brother kept on pleading, so the doctor said, okay, fine, if you want to waste your money, I'll do it one more time. And the doctor operated one more time. And the operation failed again. So my brother then, just gathered me and we came back. And on the way back, you had made the ticket in such a way that we had to stop in Saudi Arabia for 3 days. So when we stopped, my brother said, okay, fine, I should do the Umrah. Now we are here for 3 days. In those times, there were no daily flights from Saudi Arabia to Pakistan. You're talking about 70s and 80s. So he said that my brother performed the Umrah and I was not interested in doing any of that. And anyways, I could not even move from my bed. I was so sick. So I kept on lying and my brother did the Umrah. And I, for the first time in my life, made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I was about to die, for the first time in my life, I made this dua in Makkatul Mukarramah. And he said, I made this dua. And oh Allah, if you are there, because he did not believe in Allah, right? He said, oh Allah, if you are actually there, then you should give me the strength so that I may stand up. And if you give me this strength, then I promise I will do the tawaf of your house on my own legs. This is the dua that he made, that oh Allah, give me the strength to stand up on my own feet. And he said, I slept that night, that next morning, for the first time after many, many, many months, I was able to stand up from my bed according without any help. And after a little while, I started walking. I thought that I have enough strength. By the afternoon, by the evening, I have enough strength that I was able to get down from the stairs. So that night, I did tawaf of the house of Allah. And that night I accepted the kalima, he accepted the religion of Islam. And from that night onwards, I have not missed any of my prayers. So if the dua of an atheist could be accepted, then the dua of the Muslim who's making dua all the time, why would the dua of that person not be accepted in the eyes of Allah? That is why we should make a lot of dua, and Allah Ta'ala invites us. فَإِنِّي قَرِيُّ I am there. أُجِيبُ الدَّعَوَةَ الدَّاعِي And I listen to the call of all the callers. I listen to the dua of the dua maker إِذَا دَعَان Whenever he makes dua. It is not as if he listens to one dua and doesn't listen to the other. No. All the duas, whenever he makes dua, I listen to the dua. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي So then it is important that you should accept what I have ordered. فَلْيُؤْمِنُ بِي And then he should bring iman on me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ So that he may be guided. We will stop here and I'll do the translation one more time. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي And when my servant asks you about me, anni fa inni qareeb, then tell him that I am close. Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i. I accept the dua of the dua maker, iza da'an, whenever he makes dua. Falyastajibu li. Then he should accept my orders, falyu'minu bi, and he should bring iman on me, la'allahu yarshudun, so that he may be guided. I finish up here. May Allah Ta'ala accept what has been said. May Allah Ta'ala keep guide us to the right way. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah.